Well, again, I do welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fanny Crosby had a word or a way with words, didn't she? I oft times read those songs and the words that she pens, and it struck me as, I think, the third verse where it says, as we commune with our Lord as friend to friend. And I know that's the desire of each one of us, that we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ where we can count on Him as a friend and He can count on us as a friend in this gospel. And I know that, I trust that as our brother Jerry stands up here and delivers the words that the Lord has placed upon his heart, that it will draw us closer to this gospel and closer to Jesus Christ, that we might have that relationship that we desire with the Lord, and He desires also. So I would ask for our brother Gerald your kind attention and your prayers. Jerry?
Thank you. As I prepared for this morning, I was in a quandary about exactly what I want to. I had some ideas in the back of my mind, and some of these stem from the meeting we had here last Monday night. We had the annual church business meeting where we elected officers. It's always a very big, very important time in the life of the church when they elect new workers to fulfill the teachings of the Lord. We've seen great successes over the years since I've been here by those that have dedicated their lives and their spare time, their efforts, their study in bringing the gospel's message to those, whether they be small infants, toddlers, young children, teenagers, adults, to bring the message of Jesus Christ to all of those so that they can know what's available for their lives. Now, I don't want you to think that because the meeting was held last Monday night that it's all over for another church year, because it isn't. It's just the beginning. Part of my scriptures that I'm using today, I've used about two or three years ago in a sermon, and just the ones I thought would help to highlight the thoughts that I had as I was studying for this. I've been involved in a lot, as many as you have, in the church of business meetings, the elections of officers. And you look forward to and you pray to God that He will give each of them great strength and great wisdom as they carry out their responsibilities in the coming year. But don't think that it's all over. If I want to put a title on this, it would be the name of that hymn we just sang, I Am Thine, O Lord. And I want you to think about the words that you just sang. Brother Bill mentioned the other night in the prayer meeting, that so many times it feels like we sing the hymns, and we just sing them because we're used to them, and we don't pay attention to the words. The melodies are beautiful, but it's the words that bring life to the hymns. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Those two verses, to start with, should be the dedication to each of you that agreed to serve the Lord in different capacities this year should take in your life. You should read those periodically when you have the opportunity. And then the one that Steve just wrote, all the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune with friend and friend. And the last verse says, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. What a beautiful message. I am in total agreement with him. Brother Steve, Fanny Crosby is probably one of my favorite writers of hymns. Remember, we were discussing music, church music one night, and somebody said something to Steve about it, and he says, just pick Fanny Crosby's music, you can't possibly go wrong. And he was right on. The lady that just had a tremendous life. The first scripture I've chosen tonight is one of those that I just referred to that I have used a time or two before, but it's been a while. And it comes from the third chapter of Colossians, and it's talking about the Christian life. And I'm just going to take segments here and there of it. The first four verses says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. What a wonderful promise. If we but seek his leadership, seek those things that he brings to us to establish our lives upon. You've heard the term many times, and many times when I stand up here, I feel that it's very apropos, that I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But still, I think we all need to hear it every once in a while. It's just like me, this time every year, I go back to these thoughts that I have about starting a new church year and what can be accomplished. What did we accomplish last year? Great things. We see many new young children are in our Sunday school. I know that the Lord smiles every time a new one comes in to sit in a Sunday school class. We have fantastic workers in our Sunday school classes. They have raised the children, so to speak, in the nurturing, the admonition of the Lord. And those children will never, ever forget you. I had an occasion about a month ago to when I was over in Kansas City, Kansas, to run across a man that used to be in one of my Sunday school classes, the church I belonged to before. He and his brother hadn't seen him for several years. First thing he started talking about was back in those days in church, in Sunday school. And we reminisced for a little bit, and it was very refreshing. I've had that happen to me on several occasions over the past several years, a couple of times at funerals, which is not good. But to have those come out that remember the contact they had with you, remember the ground that was laid when you taught the scriptures. And it's been refreshing to me to realize that most of them I've talked to are still active in churches. Not because of what I did, but because the Spirit of God moved in their hearts and kept them in churches. They're married and have families, and they're in church with them. That's when you see the fruits of the Spirit working. And you have to feel good about looking up and say, thank you, God, for the opportunities to serve you. And then think, may I continue to serve you in whatever capacity. I'd like to move on down in Colossians to the 12th verse through the 17th. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Those last two verses are the ones to me that really stand out in that last segment. It tells us how we can accomplish those things. It gives us a very clear guideline, like reading a road map. And all we have to do is refer to those periodically and realize whether or not we are following what the Scriptures tell us. Paul was an extremely wise man, and he left us some magnificent messages. As I was preparing this, I have a tendency that I'll be thinking in one vein and there's something else comes, feeds in on this side over here, and sometimes it meshes and a lot of times it doesn't. But I thought of, when we see the announcements in the bulletins, I like to refer to them as opportunities for service to the Lord. Whether they be a scripture theme camp, a women's retreat, whether it be an outing for young people, whether it be a wedding or a shower, it's still Christian people gathering together, spreading the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ among themselves. And this other thought that kept creeping in my mind was the condition of the world today. And I know I've mentioned it before, and many of the ministry have mentioned it in their sermons, but it's something that's relevant to us today, and it's something we need to think about constantly. And the first thing, I laid out two or three things here that I thought were important. Of course, right now seems to be the one thing that stands out in everybody's mind is the economy. People are losing homes. People are losing jobs. There's turmoil. There's questions. I have a son. It's the investment business. I asked him not long ago what he thought was going on. He said, I have the foggiest idea. He said, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. And he's been doing this for several years. So I didn't feel quite so bad. Not as lost as I did originally. But I like to look at this, the opportunities for service in God's kingdom, as going to apply for a job. And please don't consider this to be a flippant example. It just seemed to fit to me. But if you come to God's house and you're looking for something to do, you want a job. You want a position in the kingdom of God. You're applying for employment in God's service. And I sat and thought, what's in it for me? As most people do when they go to get a job. What's in it for me? How much do you pay? How about vacation time? How about benefits? And I thought, well, it's got great benefits. Got flexible hours. That's one thing a lot of people look for in a new position. On-the-job training. You don't have to have a degree. Opportunities for advancement. Myriad opportunities for advancement. No experience necessary. That's one thing that so many young people complain about today and have for years. I'm going to apply for a job and I don't have any experience. They won't take me. God will take us and He'll give us the on-the-job training. Great benefits. And the one that I thought was, to me, the most important, it has the best retirement system available. With all of those benefits laid out before us, why would we not want to apply for a position in the kingdom of the Lord? As I said earlier, we elected officers on Monday night. Doesn't mean there aren't still openings available. And they will always be available. The employment office is never closed. Colossians 3:12. I want to go back to that for a moment. To put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. If you would come with that attitude in mind, and God calls you, are you ready to respond? Now, He may not have a position open that you have in mind, but there are many others that are available. Will you be available to maybe change a little bit from what you've been doing in the past? Are you willing to drop some of the aspects of your life that are not maybe the most pleasant and to change them to meet the requirements that God has for you? The translation in that put on therefore as the elect of God means that's an urgent, urgent plea for you to accept and do something with it. In Isaiah 6, verses 5 through 8, it's just a short period. I've always been fascinated with this, and we've seen it with other of the major leaders in the Old Testament. Made 6, 5 through 8. Isaiah talking. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Can you imagine how he felt in the very presence of God? Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs, with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Is that the response you're going to give? If God calls you to accept a position in His kingdom? Or are you going to say, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I've dwelt with people, unclean hearts. Doesn't mean he can't change you. doesn't mean that He won't plant in your body and in your heart not just a desire, but the will to change and to take up something new. I have a son-in-law that has a degree in industrial safety. And in the years he and my daughter have been married, he's had about 8 different jobs, all in the same field. Traveled all over the country, worked for 4 or 5 years, and he gets laid off. They shut down the job or something. Then they're off again. And his wife has said to him a couple of times about changing. Why don't you take up something? No, this is my calling. It's the way we are about God. If we have our minds and our hearts and our lives set in a certain mode and He calls us and tells us, I want you to do this for me, are we willing to uproot ourselves and be transplanted into where He wants us? It may not be across the country. It may be just from in your easy chair at home to a position of responsibility in the church or require a little more of your time and your effort. We know from the scriptures, they tell us that we have many, many positions that are available in God's work. Not everybody can be a prophet. Not everybody can be called to preach. Not everybody feels they have the ability to be a Sunday school teacher. But there are so many things that you have the abilities to do. Anything that you do to make God's house look great. Anybody you talk to tell them about Jesus Christ and about your relationship with Him and with the church. Is fulfilling part of His desire. Driving to church this morning, I saw a man in the church parking lot using a weed eater on the grass around the parking lot. Now, there's something wrong with this picture. Are we willing to be as open and as able to serve as Isaiah was when God called him? We'll say, well, I'm not an Isaiah, and I'm not an Abraham, and I'm not a Moses. But you look at their lives prior to what God called them to do. Shepherds. Farmers. If you look at the myriad of people who were responsible for writing the Bible, none of them were religious. If we like to refer them to them today, learned men. They took up God's call and they got themselves involved in His job, on the job training. Little did Moses ever expect that he would lead the people out of Egypt and across to the wilderness. But he did. Why? Because he was willing to answer the call. He didn't have any idea what was ahead of him. And you know well he didn't. I'm sure God gave him a glimpse of maybe what was to come, but I'm sure that he didn't realize the gravity of everything that would involve. Can you imagine just keeping those thousands of people semi-happy on a 40-year sojourn in the wilderness? Take a strong man. And that strong man can't do it on his own. Every one of us has the ability to answer God's call. I know when I talk to people about singing in the choir, I can't sing. I can't even carry a tune. But I can hear you singing in the congregation. And I know that many of you can. A little recruiting on the side here. I'd like to turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 13. And this is the way we ought to look at these responses when God calls us. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul was a unique individual. He was a very learned man. He was a Pharisee. He received education from some of the best teachers in the country at that time. But God called him and gave him a completely new outlook on life. Transplanted him, so to speak, from one location to another, or from one position to another. I can understand the fear of the disciples when they heard that Paul was coming and they didn't really know about the gravity of his conversion. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can you? Yes, you can. When I was called to ministry, I had a lot of, call them, fears and trepidation, as my mother used to refer to it. And I still have them periodically about when I'm asked to put together a sermon. Sometimes it's not real easy, but sometimes I have a hard time settling on a particular subject. I just have to let the Lord lead me. Now, I'm not going to tell you there's a bolt of lightning coming out of the sky and opens the Bible and shows me the Scripture. It's not that way. But I would like you to think about those things. And I'd like you to open your Book of Mormon with me, if you would, to Moroni, the 7th chapter. Read verses 35 through 44. And Christ says, if you will have faith in me, you shall have power to do whatsoever things is expedient in me. He can't give you a greater promise than that. If you but have faith in him, he will give you all the power you need. There's not a soul in this church that couldn't raise their hand to affirm that, if I ask. You face obstacles in life that you know darn good and well you're not going to be able to handle, and you ask him for help and he helps you overcome them. He always is there if you but ask. Verse 36. And he has said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. It's a simple call. It requires change in your life. It requires a rededication of your life to another way of life. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true. And if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain. For no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also? And awful is the state of man, for they are as though there had been no redemption made. For behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you. For I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then are ye not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. The opportunities arise for you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe in those scriptures that I just read. You believe in the admonition that Paul said about to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then you filled out the job application and you're hired. And you can begin today. On the job training will start. He gives us promises nobody else can possibly give us. And he fulfills those promises day in and day out. We have the promise of his power, of his strength, and of his security. And as we see the world in the shape that it's in today, we need that peace and security. And I defy you to find it any place else other than in the bosom of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a short psalm for you, Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south, that they may sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like that second verse. Actually, the first two verses. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were then as dream. We were like them that dream. And to a degree, we are. We see the promises. We have faith. It's kind of like a dream because we can't just see the total fruition of it. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Think about that. That's what they're going to be saying. The Lord hath done great things for them. I am thine, O Lord, as Fanny Crosby wrote. I have heard thy voice. And she answered the call. And as a result of her answering the call, she has provided joy, peace, comfort to millions upon millions of people for years with the beautiful poetry and music that she wrote. Many of Fanny Crosby's songs, or actually poems that she wrote, were sold so that she could make a little bit of money to live on. And those that we are so familiar with today probably brought no more than $1 or $2 to her at the time she sold them. But think of the incalculable joy that they have brought to millions upon millions of people. You don't have to put forth tremendous efforts. You don't have to go out into the foreign fields and be a missionary. You can be a missionary right here in your neighborhood. Sometimes the best witness, the best missionary, is a good close friend to somebody in need. It speaks volumes about you and about the Savior that you represent. The challenges that we face today in this world, of course, as mentioned, the financial turmoil that's going on, national security, that's a constant problem with us, and it's going to be with us for many, many years to come. Greed is running rampant in all aspects of life. I don't care whether it's politics, whether it's corporate greed. It's like a plague. It hits everything, everywhere. Moral decay. You watch the news each day, you see nothing but moral decay. How many times in the last 6 months have you seen an article where ministers, youth workers in churches have been involved in illicit sexual activities with youth? Teachers, coaches, the same thing. We see stronger movements all the time to legalize drugs. And we think it can't happen. It's right on the doorstep if we don't watch it really close. Religious persecution. We've seen the last few years persecution. We experience at Christmas time and Easter. But it's every aspect, every vestige of Christianity is under attack. And thank the Lord for those who will stand up and say what they believe when they're being persecuted. I think just this past week of the young lady who was a contestant in, I believe, the Miss Universe contest or something. And one of the judges asked her about what she thought about marriage. And she very plainly said that she believes that marriage is between a man and a woman because that's what her faith has taught her. She'd been totally excoriated in all the press, in all of the circles that migrate around that type of a program. But she holds on to her faith. She will not falter. She lost the position. But she gained so much more in her ability to stand up and speak her mind according to what Christ has taught her that it made a worldwide impact. Ephesians 6:1-4. This is one that I like, but I'd like to be able to turn it around sometimes. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." And the fourth verse is the one that to me ought to be really emphasized strongly in today's world. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." That's a message we need to be taking to the world today because of the amount of abuse that we see on the part of parents and caregivers towards our little children. There is absolutely no excuse why that should ever happen. There's a famous painting, talking about faith. There's a famous painting, and I'm sure most of all you have seen it at one time. And you used to see it in the older Bibles where they have a lot of the great artwork of Christ standing before a large wooden door to a home, a beautiful vine-covered home, and he's knocking at the door. The caption that goes with this picture, I remember seeing it in the Bible my mother had years ago. It's from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. But there's a unique thing about that picture that I didn't realize until I read it the other day in a devotional book that I had. That the gentleman who painted that, his name is Holman Hunt, and he left something out in that picture. It never dawned on me until I read on. When you look at it, there's no doorknob on the outside of that door. It has to be opened from within. You have to open the door to Jesus Christ. He can't open it for you. He won't open it for you. And this was a very poignant way to point that out to us. When he knocks, be prepared to open the door and welcome him in. Now, he may not ask you to take a great job in the church. He may not ask you to do anything but to be a good neighbor, to study his scriptures more, to learn more about his will for your life and how you can better your life through his will. But he is always there knocking. There's a hymn or a song, a Christian song that was written several years ago by one of the country western singers. Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding. Think about those things. Don't think that because we've elected officers, your responsibility or your opportunities to serve are over. Because they're always available. The employment office, God's kingdom is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Each of us have a talent. Maybe you can't sing. Maybe you don't feel comfortable teaching a Sunday school class. But maybe you're really good at artwork. Or maybe you have a knack of telling great stories. Children love great stories. And believe me, those are the things that those children will always remember. It won't be the great things you've done for them. It'll be the little things you did with them to give them guidance and leadership. And the only thing I can say to those that have taught here for several years is God bless you. Because you have helped and many, many children and adults to a strong life and a strong belief and relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Just remember the announcements for the week, and I welcome you here this evening. I will be your preacher this evening. We're going to use 122 for a closing song. 122.